This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock and the Money Podcast, episode 107. It's time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along that path to retirement and financial independence. I am Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She is a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/rockonthemoney or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hey, Amanda, what's going on?
Oh, I don't know. What's going on with you?
Things seem to be just rolling right along. I have no complaints.
Zero. I know. Complaints. It's the end of January already.
I know, but I am working my taxes and trying to get, I have so much happened last year for me and everybody, and there's a lot going on. So it's a weird year, and I had so many things go on last year, and trying to remember everything I had. I did a good job keeping records, but I encourage everybody to start getting on that, because it's very complicated this year.
You know, that is an excellent point. I actually met with my tax preparer, my accountant, a week ago, and just to chat over the things that had changed in 2020 from 2019, and, you know, just to get organized so that I know what I need to collect and get ready and how things are going to be different this year. And people who hadn't been doing, you know, side gigs or hustles before, you know, it's going to be a little bit different for you to collect the information you need in order to prepare your taxes. So I encourage everyone to reach out and have that conversation early so that you can get your taxes prepared as soon as possible. And hopefully, get a small return in your pocket.
No, I do not have that situation. I will be probably owing five figures.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no avoiding it. So it is what it is. So
yeah, I did make much larger quarterly payments, you know, the prepaid payments that everyone needs to be making. If you're doing any type of side hustles or self-employment, you should be making quarterly payments because there aren't withholdings. If you're not making those quarterly payments, you may be subject to penalties and fees for late payments. The worst thing is to be surprised with a huge tax bill on in February or March when you're preparing your
I will not be surprised.
Well, and that's the other thing is I encourage people to get their taxes prepared as soon as possible so that you know that if you do have a payment due, you have some time to, you know, collect that money and get it ready before the April 15th deadline.
Yeah. Hey, speaking of money, what we got on this podcast?
Today, we're going to talk about our 2021 financial goals, and then we have three social media questions.
Nice.
Yeah.
Goals.
Goals. What are our goals? So, Craig, what are your goals for 2021?
Uh-oh, you're catching me off guard. Mm-hmm. Okay, I knew you were going to ask me this, but I did not prepare notes or anything like that. I'm just going to say it off the top of my head. Based on what happened in 2020, I had two jobs. I'm retired. Mm-hmm. And I had two jobs. One I got furloughed from, got brought back on. One I'm still on emergency leave from. And then I created a side gig. And as we've talked about with side gigs in the past, at what point does your side gig become your main gig? The side gig has completely bypassed the income of two other jobs. I am at the point for 2021 for my financial goals. It's like, all right, what are we going to do moving forward here? Am I going to completely get rid of the other ones and focus on one thing? Mm-hmm. Or do I keep at least one of the other full times? The point is, what am I going to do with income? And does the other things keep me from doing better in the income? Which one do I enjoy more? It's almost a side gig conversation is what I'm getting at. That is my my point where I'm at. And then what do I do with that income? In doing a SEP and that sort of thing and trying to invest as much as possible moving into the future. Yeah. So that's where I am at. As far as I don't have debts, I don't have any hardships at this point. I'm fortunate. I know a lot of other people do. I'm really focused on what am I going to do moving forward for the next 5 years. And it has to do with my current employment situations and my side gig. So that it's really a there's no one that can really make that decision other than me. It's going to be.
You're the only retired person I know who's trying to figure out when to actually retire.
I do have that problem. I do, and that has actually been creeping in my mind. It's like, at what point do I stop this madness? And
I mean, if you're enjoying it, you're enjoying it.
I am. I still feel like I'm young. If people that watch my live stream know that I feel like I'm at halftime. I still have 50 more years to go. And I still have in my mind that I could run out of money. And so I don't know how to get out of that. I know if I sat down with a money guy, he would laugh at me. But I'm not going to trust my future to someone just looking at numbers saying, oh, you'll be fine. I don't want to have that. I want to make sure no matter if I get cancer, I got to pay cancer treatments. I got to get, things that insurance will not cover. I want to make sure if I'm still good in my money earning years, I should be earning money. And
it's not like you can travel right now. So what else would you be doing? Well,
and plus, it's healthy to stay busy. If I'm sedated,
I don't know that this is healthy for your voice, but
no,
sure.
No, it's not. But, I'm not going to do this forever. I may only do a couple of years and that's it. I'm like, okay, I now solved my future income. I can now relax and now I can go out and enjoy. I know that's not probably the money goals you're looking at, but it does involve a lot of other thoughts and things going on in my mind. And this year I got to figure that out. I'm like in the first 6 months, and then the next 6 months I can see if I made the right decision. Does that make any sense?
It does. Yes, it does.
It's very complicated as a retiree. How about you, Amanda? What you got? Because you're the young girl. You're young. You got your whole life in front of you. You and Matt, what are you guys? What are your goals?
Am I young? My son just turned 20. So
you're 40. Stop. Yeah. You're not even at halftime yet. Give me a. You're so young. Good.
Well, so, and we talked about this last year. So I try to make goals that are clear and reachable. And I like the SMART goal method. So SMART is an acronym meaning specific, that they're simple, sensible, significant, measurable. That's the M. The A means achievable or attainable. R means they're relevant or reasonable, realistic. And then time bound. So they should have an actual time goal associated with it. So I try to follow that as simple guidance. I don't necessarily with each goal go and attach each letter to it, but that's kind of what I keep in mind when I set my goals. So our number one goal this year is to pay off one of our two rental properties in full.
Nice.
By the end of the year. And we are on track for that. Every time we get one of these stimulus checks or we have surprise additional funds, then those go towards that payment. And we should be able to pay what we got in November of 2020 as a 30-year loan will be a one-year loan. Yeah, so that's our number one financial goal. Other than that, it's the other goals. One, we've already achieved in January already, and that is to max out our Roth IRAs. Right. So the $6,000 contribution to each of ours. And then the other financial goal is to max out 401ks and TSP accounts. So that's the government version of the 401ks. Thrift savings plan is what it stands for.
Yep. Yep.
So those maximums are $19,500 each year. And with my planned withholdings from my paycheck, that goal will be met by the end of the year as well.
There you go.
Yeah. So those are the big ones. Other than that, it's just to continue to save and invest and hopefully continued on the path that we're on. 2020 was very kind to us financially in terms of our investments. So we are very fortunate in that regard. We obviously, my husband's job is very secure, being in the Army.
Yes.
We don't have that threat of being laid off or anything that would be impacted by a pandemic or anything like that. I am also very fortunate to have already been in a remote position where I work remotely 100% of the time. So that continues, and our company is still doing well during the pandemic. So I think that I'll be okay for some of that time. But yeah, so those are our financial goals. And then the last one is to continue to prepare our home for resale, our primary home, our primary residence, because we will more than likely be moving next year again, thanks to the Army. So we will be preparing for the sale.
There you go.
Yeah. So all of that really boils down to budgeting. Number one, budgeting, which I always budget, and then reducing expenses. So we are very mindful of expenses. You know, we've been evaluating even our normal monthly bills on a regular basis just to see what we can cut so that we can speed up the goals even further.
Kind of easy to do right now during a pandemic.
Yes. Yes and no. I mean, you have still, everyone still has access to Amazon on their internet account.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So even if you're not going to TJ Maxx on a regular basis, like I love to do, then you still have access to Amazon. And so, yes, you still have to maintain your budget and keep your spending in check, even while sitting in a chair in front of your computer. But yes, we are doing a dry January in terms of eating out. So we made a commitment not to do any restaurant food for the entire month of January. And that makes a huge difference. So, you know, it's a good exercise for people who maybe were becoming comfortable with ordering delivery or picking up food because of the pandemic and the ease there. Sometimes we've gone to the grocery store more than once in a week. And again, as I've mentioned in prior Savvy Savings, that you want to try and avoid that. So we're still perfecting our eating at home plans, but it's been good and definitely much better on the pocketbook.
The problem with my goals, and I'm not able to use SMART as much as I want, is I've already reached my goals that I'd set years ago.
Yes.
And now that I reached that, I had to create a new target. I like having a target. Yes. So now I have come up with the new targets we've talked about before, whether you should have 5 million, 10 million in the bank, which they say is the amount you need to completely keep yourself safe from anything that could possibly happen.
Yes.
That's a big discussion out there. So those are my targets now. So everything I'm doing now is to hit that. So once I hit that, I think I'm going to be done. I'm going to retire. Right.
I'd love to post in our Facebook page the same question for other people, just to kind of get everyone thinking about. You should. So Craig raises a good point. You should have some long-term goals, but you also, I feel it's really important to have an annual goal. And just a review of some of my goals from last year. One, we had set a goal to purchase 3 rental properties. We got 2. The third one fell through. So we were on target for 3, but I think it's okay to adjust your goal. You know, the other thing about only getting 2 is that now we'll be able to pay one off very quickly. And we've evaluated what worked and didn't work last year and decided, you know what, we're not going to buy anymore this year. We're going to make sure we're fully out of debt on the ones that we do have, which is what Craig and I coach anyway. And then the other, you know, goals we had last year were very similar to this year, to max out our retirement contributions, which we did. Mm-hmm. I had set a goal of helping at least 4 people last year with, you know, buying and selling their homes with referrals to the high quality real estate agents. And I had 4. So that's good. And so that's a goal this year as well, of course, is to continue to help people find high quality agents through Choice Realty Connect for buying and selling. And we'll continue to help in that regard. So I think it's important, make an annual goal. Look at, when it comes to January, look at what worked, didn't work last year, and then help make your new targets for the coming year. And, you know, I could have never, ever. So the idea I had for a target for my retirement plan in the last year, it got blown away. So I was hoping to repeat the 30% return from the prior year. And instead it was like 111% return. So I could have never anticipated that. Yeah. So it's okay if you meet your goal and exceed it. That just means you need to, you know, set a new goal. And it's okay if you don't always meet it. Sometimes it's good to have a stretch goal.
Right. And you could have a really bad year.
You can.
And then it averages out over time. So
that's right.
Hopefully people don't think what's been happening is normal.
Yeah. And so that's why my goals are tied to the contributions and not towards the results. I mean, obviously, the idea is to, over time, continue to have 8 to 12% returns on an annual basis. But again, that's going to average out over time. So, yeah.
Perfect.
So that's why I would set the goal towards what you contribute, because the growth is kind of not entirely in your hands.
Right. And it's not part of the SMART because it's out of your control. Mm-hmm. You're just hoping. But if you do what we tell you to do, over time, you should get 8 to 12%.
Yes.
Over time, like a lot of time.
Yes.
So you should be able to double it every 8 to 10 years if you do what we tell you to do.
Yeah.
And that's normal. What's going on right now is not normal.
So. Yes. Just take our suggestions.
Yep. All right. Let's take a quick break and we got some questions. I bet there's an IRA question in there somewhere. We'll take a break right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
There, rock stars, Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock on the Money with Amanda and Craig. Check us out on rockonthemoney.com and the facebook.com/rockonthemoney page. And hopefully I'll get some of those videos I promised in last episode.
Up. Yeah.
Yeah. So people can nitpick everything I'm saying. Now, it's just general financial explanations.
People, about, it's free. So
it's free. What you expect. I actually went out and bought like physical sand buckets of different colors and fake money and stuff like that. So I have visual aids to help.
You have props.
Little props. Yeah. No, I don't have real $100 bills, people. When I start flipping these hundreds, it's fake movie prop money. Don't like, oh my God, he's like throwing his hundreds around.
Yeah.
No, it's all in the bank. It's actually not in the bank. It's actually investments. No. All right. Hey, we got 3 questions.
Yes. So let's start with the first one. Number one, is it possible to open a mutual fund account with less than $5,000?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yes.
You can open up with $100 if you want. Now, I say that, but there are some funds that do require a minimum amount to start. So
I think the general one I see is usually around $2,500.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what some of those free mutual funds that you find at Schwab, Fidelity, and Vanguard, they have a couple of free, no-cost ones. A lot of those have lower amounts because they want to get people in the door.
Right.
So mm-hmm. they make the entry point very easy. It could be 100 or 1,000. I don't have the data up for each one, but.
Yeah. Well, and what I've seen is that there's a lower entry limit if you're going to set up direct deposit for ongoing contributions.
Yeah. And not just one time.
For automatic. Yeah. For automatic.
Because then they know you're in the system.
And if you have an existing relationship with the organization already and you know, they know they can get their money through transfers or whatever, then I've seen much lower entry limits there as well.
It is so easy to open up these accounts right now. Literally mm-hmm. minutes. Minutes.
Yes.
Question number two, Amanda.
Yes.
Seeking advice. We have a 30-year mortgage, but we pay like a 15-year and they have 9 years left. Should we just pay the minimum and attack our truck loan of $36,000 or just keep paying the mortgage like a 15-year? We do have an emergency fund.
Okay. Yeah. So absolutely you need to go to paying the minimum on your mortgage and get rid of that truck loan. 100%. So Craig,
yes.
You want to do a recap on the baby steps since you're our resident Dave Ramsey, what is it? Certified master financial
coach. I'm a master. Coach. Yeah. I'm a god. Yes. I'm a master financial coach. What's going on here is they're paying things off, which is great. They're doing it in a roundabout order. The order is wrong. So what we want to do is baby step one is you have $1,000 initial emergency fund. Then we pay off all of our commercial debt except for the mortgage.
And so then, commercial debt includes your truck loan.
Right. You've been paying off your mortgage. It's way down the line.
Yeah, you're backwards.
You're getting way ahead of the horse here. So actually it's baby step six. I'm sorry. You're actually on baby step two, which is your $36,000 loan. They mentioned they have an emergency fund. I don't know how much money that is. I don't know if it's the $1,000 initial or the 3 to 6 month, because if it's the 3 to 6 month, you only need to have $1,000 set aside. Take the rest of that money, write that check and put it towards that $36,000 truck loan, pay off the truck. Make sure we're not missing any credit cards, student loans, yada, yada, yada. Then we rebuild our emergency fund in 3 to 6 months.
What you were paying for the truck loan, now you can wrap into your mortgage payments and you're making sure you rebuild the emergency fund. Now, I would put an asterisk by the emergency fund using that to pay off the truck. At this point in time, I think it depends on the level of risk you have in losing your job during this pandemic. So under normal circumstances, yes, if your job is still very secure, like in my situation, then absolutely you should draw it down to $1,000 and put every other penny you have towards paying off that $36,000 loan on your truck. But if you have some risk and it's more than a 50% chance that one or both of you may lose your income, then I would probably still keep a 3 month emergency fund.
Mm-hmm. I wish I could tell you my job was secure, which is not. None of them are. Even the Facebook gaming thing is definitely not secure.
No, but you're scrappy. So you know that, one, you would be able to figure something out to replace that income pretty quickly.
Well, and I don't need to be doing any of it, period. Right. But that's not the point. The point is you're totally reliant on people tipping you while you're playing video games. That's not a good way to budget long term or consider that a full time job. It's a whole different subject anyway. Absolutely. I agree with you. I forgot to mention the pandemic. It's not going away. Things are going to get worse before it gets better. We've heard that from the administration. And that's true. Until we get all this figured out, we got ways to go. So,
yeah.
All right, we have one last question.
Okay.
My buddy owes Mack Tools a good bit of money. Have you ever seen these trucks, these Mack Tool trucks?
Oh, is that like Snap-on?
Yeah, it's like the Snap-on trucks. So they go around, visit garages, stuff like that, that sell the tools to the men out there and the women that are, you know, they buy all the stuff and they put on credit. And it's not cheap. And that's what this is about. So he was wondering if paying off all of his payments on time would raise his credit score if Mac didn't report.
If Mac didn't report. So every debt that you have reports to the credit bureau.
Oh, yeah, it does.
So
yeah.
They're going to report. I don't understand that part of it. But the algorithms for credit scores still are super proprietary, and none of us know exactly what's going to make it go up or down and by how much and how quickly. Generally speaking, when you pay something off, there will be an impact. It's not going to be, your score may even go down for a month temporarily, but then it'll probably go up. Yes.
That happened to me. But what is the thing about why do you need a credit score in the first place?
Right. So, the credit score is only relevant if you're planning to take out additional debt. So right. For most of us, it doesn't matter, except that it's kind of like, oh, yeah, my credit's really good. But it shouldn't matter.
I'm almost to 850. I've never ever seen that in my life. And I'm debt free, but I'm expecting that to drop off. Well, then again, I still use my credit cards for online. So maybe that's why it's staying high. Because if you pay everything off, you stop using credit cards. Actually, after 6 months, it could go to zero.
Yeah.
If you're not utilizing credit. It's a measurement of your credit, of you using credit. And actually, the one thing that Dave Ramsey promotes is having a zero is actually the best credit score.
Right.
Because now you're not dependent on credit because you don't need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So regardless of credit score, your buddy should absolutely pay off his Mac tools as quickly as possible, because that is a silly, silly debt to have.
I have seen posts on Facebook where people are carrying debt because they want to keep their credit score up. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I haven't, but that's ridiculous.
I think that's what this is referring to, because if he pays it all off, will his credit score go up and down? Well, it's going to go down initially. But as long as you keep the accounts open, you know, whether or not, I mean, then it stays up, because you buy something, you pay it off immediately every month based on a budget. Your score will go up. But I don't worry about my score. And because I don't focus on the score, I focus on my budget and making sure I don't go into debt. My score naturally just stays up and goes higher. Does that make any sense?
It does, but regardless of credit score, pay it off.
Exactly. Yeah. Pay it off. It's a debt. You're on baby step two.
And stop buying tools on credit.
My God.
Just like you don't go and buy your underwear on credit at Victoria's Secret, don't buy your tools on credit.
Wow, that was a loaded episode.
Yes.
Hopefully people enjoyed the part about you discussing your goals and my lack of goals. And they think about, well, what do I want to do? You know, what do I want to do moving forward? Like, you have a dream board.
I do. I started it again.
And that's a very long-term target. Like, what am I doing all this for, right?
No, some of it's long-term, some of it's short-term. I like to keep something short-term. Otherwise, you know, you start to lose hope.
Well, that's very exciting, but. Yeah, all my little mini ideas are heading towards a retirement. Like, I'm going to retire. I definitely at 65.
Sure you are.
No, at 65, I'm completely done, because I still want to be young and healthy to get out and see the world. And I will see the entire world. That is my goal. That's my dream board, is to see the world. You may never hear from me again. I don't know if email works in some of the places I want to go to. So, but it's going to be fun. I'm hoping. Yeah. I'm hoping. Anyway, thank you very much, Amanda.
All right.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.